You know what it is, Truth Nation. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up.
The best way to start your day. Cutting through the noise and bringing you the real stories behind the headlines.
Talk to someone about how you feel. Do not internalize it. Do not consume it. You deserve to be heard.
It's time to wake up with Milwaukee's favorite morning show.
It's not just we canceled it, it's over, it's a done deal. Shouldn't be that way. That program still should proceed no matter how a few may go.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at the Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee.
Tell me, where are the watch parties? Where the brothers gonna be? I just wanted to see what she was gonna do.
This is Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth app. Here are your hosts, the effective communication coach Denise Thomas and two-time Emmy Award winner Telly Hughes.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It is Wednesday, July 3rd. I feel like I should say that it's Friday because for many of us, it feels like Friday. You're listening to the best morning show on planet Earth. We have such an incredible show for you today. And we've always, as usual, this is Wednesday, so we got special guests in the building. First and foremost, good morning, Telly.
Good morning, DT. We got to give these Friday vibes. You're right. This is Friday for a lot of folks. So we're going to give y'all some Friday vibes today, even though this doggone clock and calendar says Wednesday.
Also in the building, live, Marquette University basketball, men's basketball Hall of Famer. What's going on, Tony? Good morning. Tony Smith's in the building.
Hump day. What's going on, DT?
It ain't
it's all day. Good.
What?
It's not
oh, you said
day.
Friday. That's right. That's right. So my bad.
That's what we've been promoting all week.
I was going to say, but shout out to those who do have to work, like Telly and I, on Friday. Because Telly and I, we're going to be back live in the studio, bringing y'all for all the people that get up in the morning and get their meat prepared. And they got it marinating overnight. And they wake up at like 6 or 7 to get the grill just right. Telly and I will be here with you.
You could tune in.
We'll be here live on Friday. Yes. Good morning, Ricky, on the ones and twos.
Morning, crew. What it do? How you feel, Ms. DT?
All is good. All is good. So, Telly and Tony, let's get right into this. Now, yesterday we reported about the young man, 43-year-old Devontae Mitchell, who was pronounced dead at the scene on Sunday at the Hyatt Regency Hotel. When police arrived, Milwaukee police arrived at the Hyatt, they found Devontae Mitchell, 43-year-old black man, dead. Now, the reports were that Mr. Mitchell caused a disturbance inside the Hyatt Regency Hotel. Employees told witnesses that he was threatening staff and he had went into the women's room. Now, four security officers tackled him outside as he tried to leave. And again, as witnesses said also that the images of George Floyd struck their minds as it looked very similar as the security officers had their necks or their hands on the back of his neck and back. Now, as of yesterday, Milwaukee Police Department said they were not going to treat this as a criminal investigation. Well, as of today, the Milwaukee Police Homicide Unit is now investigating the death of Devontae Mitchell at the downtown Hyatt Regency Hotel. They're investigating, but they're saying that this is still not a criminal investigation at this time. Reactions.
I think they're not going to have a choice but to investigate this as a homicide. And I don't know why they're taking so long to just say that's what they're going to do. I mean, maybe that's a part of the procedure of getting and collecting the evidence to make that charge. But it seems apparent to everyone, including the person that recorded it on their cell phone, that this is a homicide. And I thought about this a lot yesterday and after the show and after hearing this information and getting this information. Just imagine the person that walked up and he had the mind the mindset to start recording this, because if this didn't get recorded, this definitely wouldn't be investigated as a homicide or anything else. They may mess around and said it was a natural cause of death, you know, depending on, you know, who's trying to investigate this. So thankfully, there is video. And I think as time plays out, it will become a homicide. So I'm not going to overreact or underreact. I think time will it'll play out the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
So Tony, one of the questions I also wanted to present to you is Devontae Mitchell. His family said that he was struggling with mental health issues.
Yeah.
And one of the topics as a result of this that we discussed yesterday is, you know, mental health in our community especially has always been very taboo in terms of talking about it publicly. However, over the past, I would say, you know, 5, 6, maybe even 7 years, there's been an amplified or an increased awareness of mental health treatment or mental illness in our community. So Devontae Mitchell obviously had mental health issues. Did this warrant his death? I mean, should brothers especially that are dealing with mental health issues be murdered? Because this is the second time, to my knowledge, this has happened. The same incident happened in New York where a brother on a subway had an episode, and one of the other passengers, former military member, murdered him on the subway. Same thing, you know, took him around his neck, put his arms around his neck and put him in a chokehold and murdered him. So where are we at? Where do you think we need to get to as a community, Tony, when it's regarding specifically mental health, mental illness within our community?
Yeah, that's a hard question, like you say, due to the stigma that's attached around it and how it's perceived. You know, to me, it's like it starts with at home. Like, you got to understand, if someone in your family is having mental health issues, got to try to rally around them, get them some help, so they're not just out there and exposed. Like, he goes into the Hyatt, right, and we don't know what was happening, but they just say, oh, he's causing a disturbance. So they call the security guards. They got to get him out. And if he's having some kind of episode, like, are they properly trained for that? I mean, most of the police aren't properly trained for that. These are security guards. We don't even know what they're trained for. Are they licensed? We don't even know. And that's some of the other issues surrounding this whole incident. It's not like it's policemen. It's security guards now. So that's a totally different issue. Like, are they official Hyatt employees? Or this is a third-party security company? Like, and I mean, I'm just doubting that their training included any kind of sensitivity and assessing if someone's just being a nuisance out there, or someone actually having an episode of mental health.
And see, Tony, you bring up a great point, because to me, that's where the differentiating factor comes into play in terms of how people manage or try to de-escalate the situation. Because to your point, when you call the police, and I'm sure there were several people, whether they were witnessing what was taking place once the security detained Devontae Mitchell, or it was someone from the women's bathroom where he had entered. When you call the police and you use the word, there is someone in here causing a disturbance, they are threatening people, that's totally different from saying there's obviously someone in here who has a medical issue, mental illness in particular, and they're having an episode that could be, you know, compromising the safety of other guests. Can you please come and de-escalate? See, and that's the thing. It's like those are two different ways of how people will react. And so I think that's a great point in terms of, is this a disturbance where someone is literally like insane, coming in, threatening people, or is this someone who's having a medical episode, i.e. mental illness? That's different.
Yeah. That's,
in terms of how the police will respond.
Yeah. And it's that whole, like, they call it the Karen situation, where you can just call the police. You don't really have to specify, and then all of a sudden, oh yeah, they're going to get in trouble. Like, whoever's calling authority, in this case, I think, I don't know who, like, alerted the security guard that apparently he went to the women's bathroom or something, and somebody alerted them. And, you know, yeah, what are they saying? Like, oh, this guy. But you know, if you see something, I guess, I don't know, if you see something happening and you don't really know, like say I see something from afar going on, I see a fight breaking out, right, or something, or people get into an argument, I don't really know what's going on. I know it looks like it's about to be a problem, and I report it, like, it's yeah. I don't know, it's just hard to, to say, like, what's the right way to
Here's the other thing, to too. That. It seemed like it was over. They tackled him as he was leaving. It wasn't as if they went in and tackled him, and then that's why they were outside. So if he was causing a disturbance and he was about to leave, wouldn't that mean the disturbance is over? But you felt the need to tackle him, and you even said it, and it's on camera. It's clear audio of him saying, this is what happens when you go into a ladies' bathroom.
Right.
So,
isn't that something?
That was the point of him going to tackle him. I mean, because that at that point, they felt like they had to do something more. It wasn't that it was over. So that was the point that I'm still trying to process, because they clearly say they tackled him as he was leaving.
See, I interpret that differently, but when we come back from break, I'll give you how I interpret that, because to me, what one of the security guards is heard shouting was a clear indication that this was personal versus procedure. You're listening to the best morning show on planet Earth, Truth Be Told with DT and Telly. We got guest co-host Tony Smith in the building. We will be back.
More of Truth Be Told with DT and Telly is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. It is Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Would you do for me?
If you do for me, I will do for you. If you do for me,
excuse me, let me let you know.
Good morning, Truth Nation. You are listening to the best morning show on planet Earth, Truth Be Told, with DT and Telly. We got guest co-host Tony Smith in the building, Marquette University Men's Basketball Hall of Famer. If you are just tuning in, we were discussing the murder. I'm going to say murder. Let me be politically correct, Telly and Tony. Reportedly, allegedly, yeah. Although the medical examiner's office has declared this as homicide, the Milwaukee Police Homicide Unit is now investigating the death of 43-year-old Devontae Mitchell, who died at the downtown Hyatt Regency Hotel here in Milwaukee on Sunday. Now, we've been talking about how there seems to be a trend in how police officers, as well as security guards or officers, are using excessive force on black men, especially those that have a mental illness, and how they're using excessive force, which results in the death of these young brothers. Now, before break, and Telly, you brought up a good point. The security guard shouting, this is what happens when you go into the ladies' room. So I wanted to push back a little bit, because there has been, to your point, and thank goodness, in these situations where you have cameras on cell phones or mobile phones. So in a new video that was obtained by WISN 12 News, the four hotel security guards are recorded as holding Mitchell down as he, again, this is the trend. He's calling for help. Okay, let's walk through this exactly how it happened according to this video. He's calling for help as these four security guards are holding him down, pressing up against his neck and his back, making it difficult to breathe. Now, as he realizes that he is losing his life, he then screams and apologizes, I'm sorry, because now he's at the point where he's desperate. He knows he's dying. He feels the oxygen leaving his body. And he screams for help. And he screams, I'm sorry. Then you hear the security guard shouting, stop fighting, stay down, followed by this statement, which is what all I needed to hear. This is what happens when you go into the ladies' room. Really? So murder is what happens to you. You deserve to be murdered. when you go into a ladies' room. That's what that statement basically said. And that's what hurts the most. And I'm sure his family, because every family member has talked about how his mental illness, along with others, is real. And he was a loving son. He was a loving brother. And yes, he was a loving father who had a mental illness, who entered the women's room, who was, you know, making verbal threats, but he was not in the right mental capacity. And now Devante Mitchell, 43-year-old father, brother, and son, is dead. So I just wanted to emphasize, because again, when that security guard said, this is what happens when you go into the ladies' room, oh, that's how y'all get trained. Okay.
Yeah.
The Truth Talking text line is 833-212-1017.
Yeah, it is. I still think that the more the evidence and the things come out, they will have no choice but to charge these four security guards with homicide at the end of the day. Again, I don't even know why. It's a, hey, let's wait and see until all the evidence comes out before that decision is made, because based off of the video that has been obtained and released to the public, you see what is going on. And there is no one that is trying to stop this from happening. And the witness who had the video, he clearly said, I saw three security on top of him, which made me feel like a George Floyd visual. And so that was the quote from the witness who recorded the video. And when you walk up, again, thankfully, he was in the mindset to pull out his phone as opposed to just saying, wow. Like, there could have been some people that said, hey, why don't you go help besides record? But
no.
I mean, you know, it's a situation
he
where
he was helping.
Yeah.
Thank goodness he was there. Because that was a huge help.
I was going to say.
Right. That. And so it baffles me that I think about what could have happened and how much worse it could have been. Again, if there was no video, and with video, they're hesitating to charge him with homicide. Without the video, they wouldn't have charged him with anything or investigated anything. They would have looked at it as this was a mentally disturbed person that had an episode, wrong place, wrong time, and something bad really happened to him. So, again, kudos to the witness to get the video. And I think that as this continues to play out, I mean, because, heck, those police officers weren't charged right away with George Floyd's murder. So I think that as time will play out, the right thing will happen.
Yeah, only certain people get charged right away, but that's another story. But it's becoming the norm for somebody to whip out that camera. I mean, for all kind of stuff, that camera phone, and start recording. And like DT said, like, it was, thank goodness that somebody was there, because that's the other thing. Like, I don't understand. Like, if you're one of these security guards and now you see somebody filming, are you just going to just continue to do whatever you're doing? And
I think they just, at that point, they're all in. They're all in. They're not caring or thinking about who's around.
Where's the, back off, we're on camera, we better do this right. Like,
oh, no, that doesn't, right. their brain, it doesn't. When
it's
you crazy. Go into that.
You're thinking way too logical.
Because, yeah, see, that's how people that are normal would think. But when you have these white supremacists, racist, angry at the world, including black men, because as soon as he said, this is what happens when you go to the ladies' room, it reminded me of those four police officers that were charged, I believe it was Louisiana, that were physically abusing black men in their cells and saying, no, this is what happens. This is how you get treated. It's like you are programmed to justify murdering. And here's the crazy, this is what is so disgusting about this. These people know that this brother was dying. They knew that he was slowly but surely dying, because when he screamed, I'm sorry, and then he screamed help. What was the thing that George Floyd screamed and cried for? And the brother that got shot by the four black police officers, they all screamed for help.
Yeah.
Some even screaming for their mother.
Yeah. And at that point, when you, if your goal is to hold him down and subdue him till the police come, at that point when he says, I'm sorry, do you think he's just telling you a lie so he could get up and run? Like, what are the chances of him getting away from four people after being held down for several minutes? We don't know how long he was being held down before he said, I'm sorry, before he started crying out for other help. And at that point, that's why I said, I mean, when Tony, you said what you said, I said at that point, they're all in. Because they don't, they're not hearing anything. They're just, they're doing, and they're focused on one thing. And that was, I mean, but of course they're going to say, oh, we weren't trying to, you know, murder him. We were just trying to subdue him. But you have four people with applying pressure on his back and neck and everywhere else. So, like, you're not just going to get up and take off running like none of that has ever happened.
Yeah, these dudes, they see it. Just like, I'm just thinking of while you're talking about that, the George Floyd thing. Like, they just see an opportunity. I'm going to inflict some pain here. Like it's fun for them, right? I'm going to do something. I'm going to hurt this person because I got an opportunity here. I'm justified. I think I'm justified, right, because they did something. Boom. So now I can subdue them, but I can use a little extra force here.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody going to know the difference. Like, they can't tell. I'm just holding them down.
Yeah. And it would have been justified if he lived. If he lived, it would have been an incident that, hey, all right, you know, it happened, and they would have walked away and had beers and talked about how they, you know, beat up some black guy.
Yeah.
If he lived. But now that they killed him, it's, oh, man, maybe we went too far. Now the panic sets in.
On our Truth Talking text line, which is 833-212-1017, Stacy says, morning, y'all. My man apologized, said, sorry. One of the white security guards said, this is what you get for looking in women's stalls. This should also be used against these culprits. I completely agree, Stacy. Now, we've outlined the situation in terms of this obviously was a homicide. This was a murder. I'm curious as to where are the mental health organizations within the state of Milwaukee, or excuse me, the state of Wisconsin and in Milwaukee. And if you are affiliated or serve or work for any mental health organization, please call in because I'm trying to understand, is there a partnership in the making or an existing partnership between mental health organizations or organizations that offer mental and behavioral health resources or tools, you know, in terms of how to engage with someone who's suffering from significant mental illness. So again, we got to take a break. When we come back, it would be really nice to hear from a mental health organization because there has to be some type of partnership where police officers, security officers, guards, whatever the case is, that have the authority to do what just happened to Devontae Mitchell. This can't happen anymore. And these officers need to be trained. You're listening to the best morning show on planet Earth. Truth Be Told with DT and Telly with our guest co-host, Tony Smith. When we come back, Trump and a black barbershop. We're going to get into Trump and a black barbershop and the impacts that it has had as it relates to this upcoming election. Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. We'll be back.
More of Truth Be Told with DT and Telly is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. It is Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
In the building. Can Oh, okay. Now we can. Yeah, I couldn't hear myself. Normally I could hear myself. But again, good morning. If you're just joining in and tuning in, we've been talking about the recent homicide that the Milwaukee police is finally going to investigate as a homicide, as Devontae Mitchell was pronounced dead outside of the Hyatt Regency Hotel on Sunday. And when paramedics found him unresponsive after four security guards were, I guess, trying to subdue him. But someone better to talk about this and give more of a perspective on it is Dr. Ford, who is on our lines. Thank you for calling in. Truth Be Told with DT and Telly. Good morning. What's your question or comment, Dr. Ford?
Good morning, everybody. Hope this morning is going well for you. Yeah, what a way to kick off BIPOC Mental Health Awareness Month, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So one thing I want to say is, you know, this is unfortunately another glaring example of our disparities that we not only have in healthcare, but in our mental health care within the minority communities, especially African-American communities. What we see is, especially in the city of Milwaukee, there's a limited amount of mental health resources that are available for folks. And as more clinics close down and as more clinics are unavailable for folks, especially those who don't have private payer insurance, majority of people that are going to show up are going to show up in crisis, and they're going to show up to the emergency departments. A lot of times when they do that, a lot of these folks are being brought in by police. And to MPD's credit, they do have some mobile crisis units, but in a lot of cases, you know, folks are going to be confronted by people who don't have that mental health training when they're in crisis, when they are perceived as being dangerous. So even in the emergency departments, what we're seeing nationally are, you know, African-Americans, especially African-American males, when they're in that crisis, they're 63% more likely to be sedated and to be put down, as so to speak, because they're perceived as that threat. So, you know, it's something that myself, as well as a lot of other providers, are always, you know, having in the back of our mind as a danger for our patients if we're discharging them after they have been seen for a mental health crisis, for what potential dangers they face in the community. Because even if they aren't confronted by, you know, someone in law enforcement or, you know, someone in that right, they could be, you know, day-to-day people walking around in Milwaukee. You know, if they come up to somebody, we're fearful of what may happen to them if they're in that way.
And Dr. Ford, DT and I were talking during the break, and we really wanted to ask you this question because when decisions are made and programs are cut, there isn't a lot of attention or fanfare given to it, but these are the times where it rears its ugly head. And can you talk about how DEI and the cuts in DEI plays a part in this, because there's less funding and, like you said, more clinics are closing, and then you're put in these situations where it becomes more of an emergency as opposed to it being treated on a normal basis?
Absolutely. Well, just like you guys said, you know, when the cuts come, we know what communities those cuts come to first, right? And unfortunately, you know, this has been the tail of the tape for, you know, the duration of healthcare as we know it. But what we know is that, you know, things that are available, funds that are available to us in the healthcare field can help, you know, relieve some of this issue. One thing like that we speak to all the time is Medicaid expansion. So Badger Care here in the state of Wisconsin, we're leaving federal dollars in Washington, D.C. that don't affect the taxpayers here in the state of Wisconsin, but can be used in programs where people don't have that private payer insurance in order to prevent them from getting to that crisis area where they have to go to the emergency department, or if they have to have that interaction with law enforcement if they're unfortunately having a mental health crisis in the community. And so those are things that, you know, you'll hear more about in the horizon, especially as we're nearing more of the national elections, but those local elections too, everyone needs to pay attention to those and get involved, speak out. You know, when these hospitals are talking about closing, definitely get to those rallies and speak to your representatives in the area to make sure that you yourself are giving your own stories and you're telling the stories of your family members or even yourself in those situations.
There you have it. Dr. Ford, we always appreciate you calling in and sharing your expertise. And I really want to underscore what you shared, Dr. Ford, is as there is so much focus on this upcoming presidential election, it is just as, if not even more important, to focus on the local or the state elections, because our representatives, they're the ones that are writing bills. and putting together legislation in terms of, to your point, how funding is being allocated, how programs are being initiated. And quite frankly, I have not been asking those questions, and I need to. And so I thank you, Dr. Ford, for calling in and reminding us that it is time, if we have not already, to get further informed and educated on mental illness in our community, especially with regards to African-American males, as well as the language that we can use when we're having these conversations with our local officials. So, Dr. Ford, again, thank you so much. Please call in anytime you want to. Telly and I always appreciate when you share your wealth of knowledge.
We always feel smarter when Dr. Ford calls in, because he will definitely tell us something that we didn't think about or it is not on our radar. And for someone to be in the trenches and on the front lines of seeing this and seeing how the cause and effect of programs not being funded and things closing, it all has to fall somewhere. And I didn't even think of that, where it becomes where you have to go to the emergency room and then the first thing they want to do is sedate you. What if everyone doesn't need the same to be sedated? It's a lot. It's a lot that goes into it, but it's something that should definitely continue to be talked about and be put in the forefront, and not just, oh, these cuts are made and we'll deal with them later. And it's just to save a few dollars, not to save a few lives, to save a few dollars.
So on the Truth Talking text line, D'Angel's advocate asks you, Telly, although I wish he had not died, Telly, just imagine if all the women you live with while in a public bathroom screamed, Telly, Dad, there's a mental man in here. What would you do? Just politely ask him to leave? Probably not.
But to say that was not the situation. We have yet to hear that there was anyone else in that lady's bathroom. So if we're going to paint this scenario, let's paint it the correct way. And I mean, because we could come up with all type of hypotheticals. Of course, if there's a man in the bathroom with my girls or my wife, I'm going to do something about it. I'm not just going to politely.
I doubt you're
going to
kill him.
Yeah,
unless he was physically harming your family.
Exactly. And so, that doesn't even like the Angel's advocate. Like, let's rethink that and let's try to build another situation or scenario, because that doesn't even make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, you got to.
Good morning,
in.
Brian. You are live with DT. Brian.
Yep. Yeah, we got to call her.
Yes. Yeah, I'm here.
Live with DT and Telly. What's your question or comment?
I just want to make a quick comment. I want to say, first of all, I appreciate y'all in the morning. Y'all get me going. I'm actually at work right now. I had to step away because this topic is near and dear to my heart. I feel like y'all definitely on the right track with people being held accountable. I remember back in the day, sometime when you was at the club, had a couple friends who were security guards and people I knew who were security guards. Someone was just associates. And they would actually kind of get off on actually putting a whooping or putting some pain on somebody when they were, quote unquote, disobeying or disrespecting the rules. You have to watch who you're hiring and what type of emotional intelligence they have, you know, the tests that they should do for being policemen and the recertifications and the things that they were talking about during defund police. I don't know if that's still a thing, but it should be. I'll also say just real quick that it's sad because I feel like we all have PTSD. As a black man in today's society, every time I turn the news and I see us being killed at the hands of police officers, racist people, whatever you want to call it, security guards, whatever their ulterior motives is, people who are not only of white people, minority people also who have biases and prejudice against us, it takes away from you as a person. It almost makes you feel like my life is not valuable, my people's lives not valuable, my brothers, my sons are not valuable because they can do that to us. I understand how we came here and what they thought we was and what they labeled us as and branded us as, but until people are actually being held accountable inside the courtroom or out, I'm not really an advocate of any type of justice, but until they're being held accountable, things are not going to change. And even if you had a mental health professional, it eats away at your soul daily to see this type of brutality in and out on the TV. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you so much, Brian. We so appreciate you calling, and thank you for making the time to step away. And again, we appreciate knowing that these topics are relevant. And people want to have these types of conversations. When we come back, we're going to hear more from our guest co-host, Tony Smith. Tony, I know you had a thought. You're listening to the best morning show on planet Earth, Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
More of Truth Be Told with DT and Telly is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. It is Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to the best morning show on planet Earth, Truth Be Told with DT and Telly. All right, DJ Ricky, that's one of my favorites.
Thank you, thank you. That, you know I'll be doing my thing.
Man, I see and I hear. You know what, Telly? One day I hope that we can have a whole entire conversation about Jay-Z from the standpoint that whether you like him or not, because, you know, people always talk about the beef between him and Dame Dash and why they separated, why they won't get back together. It's just the power of elevation. And sometimes in order to elevate, you got to separate. That's my truth of the matter at 7:47. We're going
to
talk about that one day.
You better hold on or at least ask Ricky to record it and then replay it.
Let me tell you something. Y'all don't want me to get started. You know I am the effective communication coach. Yeah, let me save that for a speaking engagement. Anywho, before break, we were talking about the reported alleged murder of Devontae Mitchell, 43-year-old young black man, father, son, and brother, who was detained and ultimately died from four security officers at the Hyatt Regency Hotel in downtown Milwaukee. And witnesses that were there, and some were even able to record video, said that it was synonymous with the images that were recorded when George Floyd was murdered. On our Truth Talking text line, and it's coming in, it is 833-212-1017. Now, Tony, before break, I know you had some comments too. We've had some great commentary coming in from our callers. This is obviously a very important subject matter in our community. What were you going to share, Tony?
Yeah, I was just talking about that situation that one caller, I forget the name of the caller, that was just making up a scenario that wasn't, like, this is not what happened. So you're just trying to make up a hypothetical.
Oh, that was the Angel's advocate.
Yeah. Just make it up, like, weird hypotheticals I don't know what reason. Like, it doesn't make any sense. That's not what happened, and it's not even close to what happened. So I was just gonna be my comment. Like, bro, let's not make up stuff here.
Yeah.
We can make those up all day long.
Yeah.
Well, since we wanna make up hypotheticals, D'Angels, I have one for you.
Mm-mm.
Now
what happened if you don't text that crazy stuff in?
Telly said, mm-mm. So D'Angels, I have a hypothetical situation for you because this is very common now. A lot of the public establishments that have public restrooms are becoming either unisex or they have restrooms when you walk in where if you're a man or a woman or however you identify, you can use the restroom. So D'Angelo, I'm curious as to know, what would you do or how would you react when you as a man, I'm assuming you're a man, if you're not, please let me know what's the proper term or pronoun to use. That when you walk into a restroom, based on the hypothetical that you presented to Telly, I'm going to assume that you're a man. So you walk into a unisex restroom. You're minding your own business. You go into the area, you're the stall, and you use the restroom. And all of a sudden, you are moved physically by four security officers. And you were thrown onto the ground. And you can feel someone's leg and arm on your neck and your back, and you are not able to breathe, and you start to scream for help, and you hear the security guard say in your ear, "That's what happens, boy, when you come into a restroom and one of my women says that you were threatening."
Yeah.
What do you do then? Because that's something that it happens. It happens all the time. It can happen to you. So again, I'm just trying to help you understand that when you come up with these hypotheticals, especially when it didn't happen, this is exactly what derails us from having the right conversation that we were having with Dr. Ford and Brian.
Yeah. So please text in your answer, 833-212-1017. We can't wait, since we want to throw out scenarios. Again, you're so right. These are the distractions that you start talking about other things and other hypotheticals. We're talking about what really happened. We're not sitting up here making up any of this stuff. We're not saying what if this happened. The only what if I said this morning is what if that witness did not have his camera going. That's the only what if we have said all morning long. Everything else, we have been talking facts.
You know, and it, Telly, I'm so glad you said that, because in all seriousness, it is such a distraction. It's like when George Floyd was murdered, and as he was losing his life, you know, he cried out for his mom before he took his last breath. And the Black Lives Matter movement, it went literally viral. And then you had certain people say, well, all lives matter. And it's like, but we're not talking about all lives right now.
And then blue lives matter.
Yeah. Yes. It's like, you know, if you live in a cul-de-sac, Telly, Telly and Tony, let's say you live in a cul-de-sac, and one of the houses in your cul-de-sac, your neighbor's house, is on fire, and the fire department comes to attempt to put out the fire of your neighbor's house. What do you think your neighbor is going to say if you were to say to the fire department, well, what about my house? What do you mean? Your house ain't on fire.
Right.
But see, that's the kind of narrative that we as a community, it's like we are talking about a 43-year-old human being who happened to be a Black man, who was a son, who was a brother, who was a father. And this is a Black talk radio station where we can finally have those conversations and hear from Black doctors that are men like Dr. Ford that have suggestions and recommendations on how we can move forward. And then we come with these hypotheticals. Really?
Yeah.
Stop.
Right.
Please stop. Because again, if my house is on fire, Telly, and I live next door to you, and the fire department come and they're like, Mr. Hughes, can you help us? Maybe contact this organization while the house. Oh, well, wait a minute. What about my house? And that's the society that we live in.
Yes, it is.
Your house ain't even on fire, and you talking about, well, what about me?
Yeah, there's nothing that we feel like we can have to ourselves. And that's the thing that really, I felt like the Black Lives Matter movement wasn't able to sustain, because then when other groups started to say, oh, all lives matter, this, that, the other, that's when you say, we're not talking about that. Whereas there's all lives that were on video that was murdered by those police officers. No. So that's the point.
It's a Black life right there.
Yeah, it was a Black life. And that should have been the focus.
Look, Telly, that's going to go into that bucket of recordings that we have. Remember the lady that called in when I was talking about the reproductive rights being protected in the state of Kentucky?
Mm-hmm.
And the lady was like, what about the data? I was like, whoa, we ain't going to do this today.
Right.
On the Truth Talking text line. John says, good morning. My name is John Fletcher, owner of EPU Personal Self-Defense System, LLC. We teach public safety and verbal de-escalation skills here in Milwaukee. In my opinion, most businesses do not have protocol or training on how to deal with these issues. So when something happens, they just go with the flow, or security begins to do their own thing. Thank you for that, John.
Yes.
See,
yes.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Right.
Solutions.
Right. Yes, yes, yes. Henry also hit us up and said, this is why I'm kind of afraid of Trump getting back in office. Stuff like this will become the norm all over again.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the norm right now, ain't it? Like, it's just crazy right now.
Fact that Tony says that it's crazy and that it's the norm, that is exactly where we are right now. Crazy has become the norm.
Yep.
Speaking of crazy, now look, when we come back from break, we've got a very special guest. Now, we are in the last week of Summerfest, and The Truth has been giving away some incredible ticket giveaways and other prizes. We've been broadcasting live from Summerfest. We've got the last weekend of Summerfest coming up right now. And so we want to make sure that we give you direct access to the folks, the leaders that are behind the scenes coming up with the experiences, including how they determine who's on that stage, who's on those wonderful, incredible Summerfest stages. So you want to stay tuned at the top of the hour. We're also, since we have special guest co-host Tony Smith in the building, we're going to have a special edition of Truth Swiping, including a major announcement that I got to underscore. And then also when we come back in our second hour, Trump at the Black Barbershop.
Mm-mm.
You going? Well,
if he get a fade, go, I would.
I just had a visual telling
of him having a fade.
I'm dying right now because as soon as you said that, I literally visualized former President Donald Trump in the chair. Gary, get that fresh line in the bag. And then I don't know what we would do up on the top. But yes, when we come back, right, we're going to give you all of that. And then
the top is
our
Truth
Talking text line is 833. Tony, stop. I can't even get the number out. 833-212-1017. You are listening to the best morning show on planet Earth. Stay tuned.
More of Truth Be Told with DT and Telly is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.